to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and as you can probably tell, this is not the Dollywood episode I promised you. Oh, no. If you follow me on social media, you already sort of kind of know what happened. I was fully booked to go to Dollywood. I was supposed to spend 4 nights there. I had a cabin. We had plans. We had a schedule. We had really difficult to get dinner reservations. And Delta Airlines just simply would not get us past the threshold. It was wild. I will tell you about it later in this episode. But what's so funny is that I call it our chaotic girls trip, our annual girls trip. And the chaos is following me home as though my life has been lived through the Haunted Mansion. The chaos just keeps coming because today I was like, okay, I have all day. I'm going to record the episode in the morning. Only we have a huge plumbing issue. And so now a plumber is coming back to like stick a camera through the shower head. I got all like dressed up this morning. I was like, ooh, I'm going to record my podcast. I'm going to feel like an adult lady. Pearl had an accident on my brand new jeans. And now I'm just wearing slop. Slop is my Hanson t-shirt from when I was a child that was down to my knees and is now an actual fitted t-shirt, which by the way, I almost saw them in Epcot and I didn't, and we will get into it in this episode. But what I want you to know before I tell you about my non-Dollywood week in not Dollywood is that if you feel like you want, you know, maybe you live with a partner, maybe you live with your family, maybe you're like, I really need to carve out some time to get some time for myself, I recommend gathering a few friends together, calling it an annual trip after the first one, and then you're basically socially greenlit to keep going and doing dumb things every year. My friends and I went to Galveston, Texas. We went to Denver, Colorado last year. If you are listening to the podcast regularly, you know that's when we went to Casa Bonita. We went to the Rainforest Cafe with the river ride inside. And by basically being like, yeah, it's our annual trip, we're now baked in to do something silly, stupid every year. And my family can't be like, no, we need your help doing all of the many things in the house. I was away 2 weeks ago, but I'm sorry, it was our annual trip. And that is a hack that I highly recommend in your life. Now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not allowed to go out of town. I go out of town every 2 weeks. I'm just saying, if you want like a baked in reason to be like, gotta get the gang together, it works perfectly. And I'm talking about this here because I don't think my husband listens to the podcast anymore. I think he used to, and now his drive, which is when he listens to stuff, is entirely conference calls because he's an executive. I get it. He's like a grown adult, and I'm literally wearing my childhood Hanson t-shirt and some cutie little socks from that company Sock Candy, which my friend Jamie gave me. I got little doggies on them. They're adorable. Anyway, I don't identify as adult on purpose, but he doesn't really listen to it, so I'm allowed to get away with it. But truly, like, don't call it a chaotic trip, because you know what happens when we call it a chaotic. You're going to have men on the roof and sewage coming through your pipes. It's a whole mess. Call it an annual trip and then you are good to go. I shouldn't have called it a chaotic trip because we didn't even get to our destination. That's how chaotic it was. And I'm about to tell you everything, because let me tell you, this was not a normal week in Disney World. This was unlike anything I've ever experienced, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. So stick around. Stay tuned for some deals from our deals captain, Becky Mankin, and I'll see you on the other side. Okay, bye. Oh, also, happy 20th anniversary to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. 20 years. They've been slaying the game. Oh, incredible. Okay, I'll see you on the other side. Bye.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, and welcome back to our what would have been a Dollywood episode. Now, you need to know before we get into the chaos of it all that Dollywood has been on my bucket list for probably 15 years, even before I really did this as a job. I've always wanted to go there. I heard the Dolly Parton's tour bus is there. I heard Dolly Parton had a whole town surrounding her themed park of all these other attractions. It was just so up my alley as a Wisconsin Dells kid, as someone who loves state fairs and silly sightseeing. It was just this place I had always wanted to go, but never really got to. Every time I'd go to Nashville, I'd be like, oh, wait, oh, Dollywood's in Tennessee. And I'd look it up on the map and be like, oh, yeah, not a casual day trip. Can't really drive 5-ish hours there and back. Not going to work. And every time I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to make a dedicated trip. I'm so close, but I'm just going to have to find a time to go. And finally, this year was the time we were going to go. I was going with three of my friends, Kelsey, Heather, and AJ. Kelsey's not very online, but has worked in the Disney spectrum of companies, I will say. I don't want to blow up her like semi-private spot. Heather, as many of you know, is my friend who lives, I was going to say lives at Disneyland. That's not true. She does not live in Walt's apartment. She lives in the area. I know her from covering media events because she runs Dining in Disney, like the OG great Disneyland food account. And AJ, the AJ of Disney Food Blog, who has been on our podcast. Yeah, AJ and I low-key go on wacky vacations together. And this one was going to be pretty wacky. We had the best itinerary, guys. The day I announced Amusapalooza was also the day I booked the cabin. And I was more stressed about getting the cabin that we wanted than announcing the trip. Like, we have put so much effort, into finding the time for this trip, scheduling it. Like, we found this pocket of time when everyone was free. I think Heather would just come back from Japan. My husband had a work conference. So it was like just this 1 week that we can make it happen. And we locked in and we got it done. We were going to do 2 days at the park. We were going to do a dinner show. We were going to have a meal at this restaurant I really, really wanted to go to that I watched many TikToks about dining in that area, in Pigeon Forge. And I think it has another name, like Seaverville and that area, basically the Smoky Mountains near Dollywood. Had all these plans, these restaurants I wanted to go to. I had a whole Google Doc with every single tourist attraction that we were going to do one of the days. We're going to do this thing called Goats on the Roof. I'll never know what that is until next year, I hope. We had coffee shops we were going to hit, donut shops, taffy shops, candy shops. Like, we had a whole plan and it was architected perfectly. But then Delta Airlines kept us from our glory. Now, people online were kind of like, wait, what exactly happened here where you couldn't get to Dollywood? We could have gotten to Dollywood, but it would have taken almost 2 days to get there. And we didn't really want to go all the way to Dollywood to lose like a day of theme park, to not be able to do everything we wanted to do, because just simply planning this and finding the time to go for long enough was so complicated. We really wanted 3 full days there. And when that immediately became impossible, we were kind of like, this just isn't going to work. Now, AJ flew out of a different airport, which is why things got a little wonky. I showed up to meet Heather and Kelsey at LAX at 5:30 in the morning. Oh, yeah. Anybody who's ever told you that the first flight out of the day will definitely get you to your destination has not flown Delta Airlines during a government shutdown. We arrived. The plane was there. It was at the gate for our 7:15 a.m. flight. And that plane did not leave until closer to 4 p.m. that day. We were getting into Delta's hub so late that even our 10:15 p.m. flight to Knoxville, which was an hour from our cabin, even that flight, there was no way for us to catch. So hour 5 of delays, I'm like, guys, spirits up. You know, if we can't make it to Dollywood, we can always just go to Orlando. They had a couple flights on other airlines, but there was even an afternoon Delta flight that the gate was across from where I was eating my sad kava bowl in the airport. And I was like, guys, we can just hop on the plane. We just go to Orlando. Now, Heather and I both have annual passes for Disney World. AJ, obviously a Disney World vet. And Kelsey goes all the time. Like, all three of us were actually there recently. So it wasn't out of the question that we would go back to kind of this second vacation home of ours. And we're like, haha, funny, but like, we're going to Dollywood. Then Dollywood became impossible. I was in the customer service line with them. We're texting AJ like, okay, we're going to try to see what we can do to maybe hop on this other flight. And then we heard the announcement and the flight got pushed so late that while I was texting AJ, I was like, I don't think we're coming. And we floated like, I basically said, like, the bad news is we can't get to Dollywood. The good news is, do you want to go to Orlando? And it worked out where AJ was like, I'm just going to go blast through Dollywood, do the stuff I was going to do, and then we're all going to try to go again next year. I, in line for customer service, grabbed some of the last three seats on the plane. There were only like two middle seats and then three aisle windows. And I was like, I'm getting them. And I just bought them. They ended up being like cheaper than our Dollywood flight, which was great. We had like a full mobile comms unit at this airport. Like, Heather was on text. Kelsey was researching flight changes, gathering details to send to Delta. I was booking a rental car, which, by the way, was a third of the price of the rental car we were going to book from Atlanta to Dollywood, which is another reason where we were like, the stars are not aligning for us, even though the plane was at the gate. Ah! But we're sitting there, and like the spontaneity of it all on a self-proclaimed chaotic girls trip just really carried us through. We were just like, oh my God, we're doing this. We all carried on suitcases. Heather was going to check and didn't. And that's the only reason this was possible. But we were like, we have stuff. We have annual passes. We can get Kelsey a ticket. Like, the parks aren't that busy. It's during the week. Heather texted a friend who generously offered us their home. So Heather was like, I got lodging. And I was like, I got a car. I got tickets. And it's like, okay, I guess this is happening. So we ended up going, and AJ did not come with, but don't worry. I did have a publicist that I work with reach out and be like, hey, so was your friend okay? And it's like, oh my God, yes. Everything was fine. It was very much like, we were like, are you sure it's okay if we go to Orlando? And AJ was like, are you sure it's okay if I just stay in Dollywood and just kind of do the Dollywood thing before our group trip? And it worked out fine. Everyone's happy. Like, no one's upset about it. I probably made it sound like we stranded AJ in Dollywood, which technically we did, but it was not without her approval at all. So we ended up just pivoting at the airport and decided to go to Disney World. And while we didn't pack for Disney World by any means, we did pack for a theme park. So all of us did have a pair of walkable shoes. We all did have a few different layers. And Kelsey and I had to buy clothes while we were there because I had longer sleeve shirts and kind of like more nighttime mountain clothes. But again, once we booked the Orlando trip, everything just kind of worked out in this very strange, kismet-y, kind of spiritual way. Because I showed up with a bag of heeled boots, a suede jacket, long sleeve shirts, and Disney World's temperature was as heavenly as I have ever experienced it. It wasn't one of those cold snaps, as they call it, where it was too cold. Oh, no. It was perfect. I don't even want to say this out loud because it truly feels like a dream. I didn't sweat the entire time I was there. And keep in mind, I was in Orlando 2 weeks ago, sweating through my clothes, straight up melting as it rained throughout the day. No rain, no heat, just perfect, like 70 degrees the entire time. I wore a long sleeve shirt and cutoffs. I wore a suede jacket on a colder night. It was truly meant to be. And these things just kept happening on this unplanned trip where, again, my full-time job is to help people plan a trip to Disney World. I was doing the opposite of what I ever tell people to do. And granted, we go a lot. All three of us had been within the past like 6 to 8 weeks. Heather truly just came from Tokyo Disney. Like, we are seasoned Disney parks people. And still, like, the freedom, we have the ability to go and not do all the, you know, the e-ticket rides, not do all the main things, not do all the big sightseeing. Like, we were able to just go and chill and hang and treat it like a mall. And that was kind of more of a spa relaxing vacation than I had ever anticipated. Now, did we cram a lot into? You bet we did. Did your girl wake up real early on the last day to get a little taste? Just to get a little taste? Yeah. I absolutely did. But showing up to Disney World with no plans, just being an open book, really opens yourself up to so many opportunities that we did not anticipate would happen. And those I cannot wait to tell you about today. Truly, things were so good and the vibe was so nice that I just kept saying, if I was asleep and dreaming of a trip to Disney World, it would be this trip. It was just like, oh, a friend's gonna come to dinner. Oh, we're going to run into so-and-so. It just all worked out brilliantly. And I cannot wait to tell you about how our chaotic girls trip to Dollywood turned into a really wholesome trip to the most magical place on earth. there's this weird sort of cognitive dissonance that happens when you think you are going one place and you immediately travel to another. The other place being the greatest place that you like to visit in the entire world. I'm a Disney World girly. I love going to Disney World. And it's kind of silly that all of us Disney World heads didn't originally plan a trip there together. I guess because usually for me, while I adore going to Disney World, it's my job. It is my work, and when I'm there, I do kind of feel a little pressure to, like, capture videos of everything I'm eating, making sure I'm taking photos, because I will need those in the future. I'll need, you know, like, assets to make videos if I ever have to. Like, there is a bit of work brain happening, even on a casual trip. But because this wasn't planned, I wasn't intentional, I was just like, okay, I was able to really vacation at Disney World in this kind of bonus brain space that I never usually am. And to really emphasize that point, I was editing so this month, as you know, every month we record a new MEI Mouse Fan Travel interstitial, like a little intro, like a little deals, like a little thing at the beginning and a little thing at the end with Becky, who runs the travel agency, about all the discounts. I recorded that. So we left for our trip on Tuesday. We left last Tuesday, if you're listening to this when it comes out. I recorded all those ads with Becky Monday evening. So I was recording those in my brain being like, great, when we wrap this up, I'll edit it on the plane tomorrow to Tennessee and then we'll be done, totally fine. I was now en route to Disney World editing and like a little interstitial about Disney World being like, the brain space I was in 24 hours ago was so far from where I am right now. Like, I never thought yesterday I said these words being like, Disney World, just thinking like, oh man, I'm not going to be there until Musapalooza. I hope I end up there someday. Now on the way to Orlando. We got into Orlando so late. I think we landed maybe 12:30. We rented a car, which in the end, we didn't totally need, but we really wanted the freedom, and it paid off when we went on a little excursion, which I will tell you about shortly. But once we got the car, we got our stuff, we checked out, we got to the house that we were staying at about 2 a.m, which is quite late when, you know, you've been at the airport since 5:30 a.m. It was one of the longest travel days of my life, but we landed utterly bewildered at the fact that we were there. Like, waking up going to see Dolly Parton's everything in a place you've never been, and instead looking down and your little Comrade compression socks and worn through plastic Birkenstocks are clomp clomping on the MCO carpet was too much for my brain to handle. It was like I'd accidentally somehow willed this to happen by the day before, just dreaming and wishing of Disney World. And all of a sudden we were there. And not only were we were there with no itinerary. And my brain was a little on overload. I was trying to be chill around my friends. I was trying to be calm. But I immediately was like, we should schedule this. We should do this. We should book this. We should do this. And I did book two things on the way. The first being a departure day breakfast at the Four Seasons Orlando. Now, if you haven't been to that breakfast at the Four Seasons Resort Orlando at Walt Disney World Resort, that is the full name and my journalism brain won't let me forget it. It is a really, really nice meal. They have it on Thursdays, Saturdays, and then select Tuesdays. I think that's maybe only like holiday seasons and peak dates. You can definitely check with them if you want to book that. But it's in their restaurant, Ravello, and it's just great. And it's really nice to just be in like a, I don't know, like a little luxury bubble when you're there while you're basically paying a very similar price for a meal you'd be getting at a Disney hotel anyway. If you don't have park admission, you need something to do, you want to see a character, I think this one really delivers. And we will get into that in a minute, because the other thing I have to tell you, you guys don't even know where this episode is going yet. There's so much wacky stuff about to go down. The other restaurant I booked when I was like, all right, like, well, I guess we're going to have dinner with them. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I guess this night we'll do this. I booked a dinner at Cake Bake Shop. I had Ashley Eckstein's words spinning in my ears, just going, you really got to find your own cake. You really should try it. You really should go to the restaurant. And I was like, you know what? I have no excuse not to this trip. We have no plans. So I booked it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to eat so much crow for this. Oh my God. I don't even want to say it. I don't even want to say it, because if you listen to the podcast, you know how I feel about Cake Bake Shop. I think the cakes are expensive. I think it's going to force prices to raise around Disney World because people are okay with it. And I've eaten cake there and I simply didn't love it. But you know what? I had the time of my life. Okay. I had an unbelievable time at the restaurant. So I think the cake. So I always viewed Cake Bake Shop. I know. I can't believe I'm praising Cake Bake Shop on here. Ashley knew it. And I trust her forever because of it. I'm trying not to talk in circles. Okay. So I view Cake Bake Shop as like a to-go shop with a sit-down restaurant. That was incorrect. Cake Bake Shop is a glorious sit-down restaurant that also lets you partake in the cakes to bring home if you would like. This is not a to-go place first, and I have really been viewing it as that the two are just kind of separate. No. If you are going to partake in Cake Bake, you need to go to the restaurant. And I had really been reluctant. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so expensive. This is going to be so annoying. Not only was the pricing exactly on par with Disney pricing, like possibly even less. I got to do the math, but like less. The experience of being there, I can't believe I'm saying this, was exceptional. We shut down the restaurant. We ate dinner for 3.5 hours, just gabbing and laughing with friends, having a ball. The waiter came over and joined in. Like, we were having the time of our lives. And I thought the glitter of it all would be like, oh, the glitter. Blah. No, it was fun. It was whimsical. It was like the way you want to feel when if you go to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and they like dump that glitter on your head and you're like, wow. It's like, I don't find that process magical. Here, I found it kind of magical. We're all Cheers and Shirley Temples that are all just swirling with beautiful glitter. We're eating food that, honestly, didn't expect it to be that good. Didn't expect it to be the second coming of Pommes frites from Cafe Orleans in Disneyland. I was told by my new friend Krista, who I met on this trip, we got to get into it. Oh my God, I have so much to say. But I was told, like, oh, those truffle fries are banging. You got to get them. We got the truffle fries for the table. We devoured them. They were delicious. And the chicken soup? The chicken soup that everyone is talking about? It was excellent. It was excellent. I know. It's embarrassing. I know. Unfortunately for me, and I guess my ego, it slapped. It was fantastic. But let me roll it back to day one because I am getting ahead of myself. We arrive, we absolutely crash, and we wake up around 11 a.m. Eastern. We're all coming from California, so that's pretty normal. But waking up at Disney World and being like, oh my gosh, it's lunchtime already, is a feeling I don't think I've ever had there. Also, partially because we were in a house and weren't woken up by nature's alarm clock, aka other people's children running through the hallways. We decided to begin our day by flopping over to the Four Seasons because we, you know, wanted to treat ourselves to just feeling, ooh, as luxurious as possible. In another scenario, we probably would have gone monorail resort, but we just wanted to feel calm and ease. And we had absolutely no plans. My two friends had not been. And I was like, let's just go and get a very chill outdoor waterfront lunch, which you can do there. You can just go there and dine. And we weren't fully ready to jump into the theme park of it all while still kind of honestly being shell-shocked by the shift of our trip. I just kept sitting there at lunch being like, what happened? How are we here? And I just needed to reset in kind of a vacation mentality. We ate at PB&G, which is essentially a restaurant that is the sit-down restaurant that's poolside between their adult pool and their family-friendly pool. And I gotta tell you, part of the reason I went is because I wanted a good meal after eating airport junk the entire day. And this place delivered. It was one of the best meals of our trip. And I'll be very real with you. Disney World has gotten exponentially more expensive. We all know that. But weirdly, the perk of Disney being more expensive and being priced the way it is now is that other expensive-y places don't seem as expensive. I mean, we went here and an appetizer of 3 delicious pretzel sticks with dip was $14. If you go to like Grand Floridian Cafe, a soup is $13, almost the same price. And this is an appetizer that was hearty that we split between 3 people. I got a salad with salmon. My body was desperate for a vegetable and a fish, but everyone loved what they got. And on the side, we got these onion rings, which may be the best onion rings I've ever had. We saw them delivered to another table and we were like, sign us up. We would love those. And they were delicious. And if you're going to go out to a lunch and you're on vacation, this is a perfect spot. I highly recommend keeping this in your mind when you're thinking about places to dine when you are off campus, because it really felt like we got that jolt of like luxury vacation without actually taking one. And after lunch, we just dilly-dallied with the best of them. They have these two stores at Four Seasons, and this is not a Four Seasons ad, though, listen. They could give me $4 and I would spout off about how good it is. Real talk, there was once a Four Seasons Orlando Resort at Disney World, and the whole name. There was once an event, like a media event in the Four Seasons in LA. And I attended because obviously it's one of my favorite hotels in the entire world, if not the whole world. And other media was there, like some influencers, some reporters who hadn't been. And I fully took charge in this meeting and was stood up and was like, you all need to understand there is no hotel like this. Walking in is like a breath of fresh air of so relaxing compared to the parks. Like I just held court in how good it is. And that's how I feel in my everyday life. So anytime I can spend time just walking through there, it's kind of like when you smell a ride smell, like when you smell the contemporary or the monorail, it's like, ooh, it gives me life, kind of like that. They have these two stores. One is like a luxury boutique. Like if I was a little lady and I showed up, and I guess in this situation I would, where I didn't have anything for a trip and was like, oh, I don't have all of the things that I wanted for Florida. You could just if you're a fancy, fancy lady, you go there. Oh, you get a little skirt. You get a little, I don't know, like a Missoni bathing suit. You just charge it to the room. And I don't live like that. I still feel like a knife to the gut anytime I buy a latte that costs more than $6, which is basically everywhere now. And we just went and we're like, we're just gonna luxuriate and touch everything. We weren't running late to a reservation. We weren't trying to get anywhere. We're just like, let's just shop and look around and enjoy these objects like they are a beautiful luxury museum. The buyer at one of those stores, so there's the adult store and then the more kid general hotel store. The buyer at the fashion chic store is incredible at their job, so much so that I told an employee to please pass along the note that all of us were talking about how good your buyer is. That store is stocked with whimsical, strange, glorious designer things that for someone like me who usually walks in a store and hates everything, every corner was filled with a new surprise. They had Anya Hindmark bags, which are those fun, looks like a Coke Zero, looks like a box of cereal, these fun, fun bags. They had really stylish accessories. They also have stuff at all price points. And I personally didn't find anything to bring home that day in that shop, but I did try on the Coperni heels. If you have seen these online, Disney and this brand Coperni did a collaboration. There was a fashion show at Disneyland Paris. It was such a vibe. It was so great. And I've never seen any of these in store. I've never seen the items in store. And they had the purse and they had keychains and they had the heels. And the heels look imagine a high heel. You got a heel, boop, and then you got your toes and it's round. Instead of that, it's round with Mickey ears. So it looks like you're walking in little Mickey ears. And usually I'd be those are amazing. I'm not going to spend the time to try them on. And I was you know what? Why not? And the person working in the store was yeah, try them on. And so I tried them on. They are impossible to walk in. I was waddling. It was truly I felt this is kind of gross, but I'm going to say it. The way I walked in them felt like a toddler with a dirty diaper, just trying to waddle their way through. They're very difficult to walk in, but it was so nice to just luxuriate in how the other half lives. After that, we went to the other shop, which is chock full of incredible kids stuff and just regular vacation wares. I bought my Marvis toothpaste, which if you listen to our souvenir episode, you know whenever I'm overseas, I really like to buy different flavors of Marvis toothpaste. Marvis toothpaste is $13 at this point, probably. So much more than a drugstore toothpaste, but it gives you luxury every night of your life. It's such a relatively low price point. It's why I love to use it. Also, Colgate, too minty for me, burns my whole mouth. I'm very sensitive. And their stuff is so great. And they had travel bottles of the whitening one, which is hard to find. So I picked up that as my, souvenir of the day. But this shop had so much stuff. They had a Stife, the really fancy, we've talked about this years ago because there was Stife Shrek years ago, but they had a Stife Bambi, which we guessed the price on, and I think it ended up being something around $2,600. It was huge. It was you put this in the corner of a room, that stuffed giraffe that a lot of people get. They had these elegant luxury princess gowns. The Belle one had roses that you could take on and off for children. So beautiful. I think it was $450. My mom's pick it up, I'll get it. And I was girly, no, you won't. It is extremely expensive, but it was so nice to look and so nice to be there and to just spend time just really calming ourselves in all of the glory that is Four Seasons Orlando. After that, we just kind of farted around back at the house, and we decided for our nighttime excursion that we would go to Disney's Fort Wilderness, their campgrounds, because truly, why not? This was twofold. One, our luggage necessitated it. There was a little bit of a crisp breeze in the air, and we had to wear all the things that we were going to wear. Our looks for the Dolly Parton Stampede were just going to be wasted. And so we had to wear them somewhere if the weather was providing an opportunity. But really, the secondary purpose was something that I've always, always wanted to do at Disney World and just have never, ever found the time or had the reason or really had a night free to be able to do it. And that thing that I've had in the back of my mind for so long and was finally going to pull off was the campfire sing-along with Chip and Dale. This was a bucket list thing that I've never made time for, but I knew it was here nightly, and this was going to be the night I did it. If you arrive by Uber, by bus, whatever, you get dropped at the front of Fort Wilderness, and then there is an internal bus that will drop you off at basically the hub of where everything is. That's where Hoop-Dee-Doo is, which we will be going to as part of Musapalooza. I cannot wait. People were allowed to like opt in if they wanted to for a bonus come a night early and we'll go to Hoop. And I'm so excited. There are so many of us going. It is going to be raucous fun. So that's where Hoop-Dee-Doo is. That is next to Trails End, which is essentially the go-to place for food while you are staying at Fort Wilderness. There's a playground over there. That's where the boat launch is for if you take boat transportation to the Magic Kingdom. There's also a souvenir shop, but it's this really nice little hub filled with vacationers and campers and golf carts because so many people there are driving golf carts around. Because of the timing of our trip, which again was unintentional, all of the golf carts were decorated like Halloween and some of the campsites and the RVs were decorated like Halloween. It was just so nice to peek a little at just the world that exists here because there is so much going on. Right over there also is Tri-Circle D Ranch, which is where so many of Disney's horses live. It honestly might be all. I am not sure. I'm not well versed on this because once I enter it, my brain goes kablooey and it just turns to jello. And I'm like, oh, there's horses. Now you can get real close to them. You can't touch. You can't touch. And there was even a moment. There was a moment on our multiple trips here. Yeah, we came back. I needed to see the horses again. I had an urge. I had an urge to see a horse. We were like so close and there was a handler who was talking to us and we were talking about the horse and it was like, oh my God, we could tell this horse like really wanted a little scratch. He just really wanted a little scratch behind his ear and we were so close and it felt like the cast member might be like, yeah, it's okay, go ahead and do it. But they didn't because those are the rules and you have to follow the rules and there's passive aggressive signs everywhere that are like, we thank you for not touching the horses, but you're near these beautiful horses and all you wanted to do was touch them. But regardless, you get to see them. We get to see them get their hair braided. They have pony rides. There's carriage rides with the horses. There's so much there. It is so cool. And it's all walking distance right in that little clump. So we experienced a lot of that. We had dinner at Trails End. We sat outside at like a picnic table. It was everything, everything I wanted it to be. The person who checked us out at Trails End was immediate cast compliment. You know, within 30 seconds, you're like, oh, I'll be filing a cast compliment about you later today. You just know. And truly, that happened throughout the entirety of the trip. We had such top-tier cast experiences. I think because probably part of it was the energy we brought, which was like, we're just happy to be here. We thought we'd be going home sobbing that our trip got canceled. We were just in such a good mood, and we just got along and met so many cool, wonderful people. And Trails End is not a place I thought that I would be on mic yelling at you about. But while our dinner was really great, everything was remarkably fresh. The mashed potatoes had skins in them. The mac and cheese was actually not very good, but everything else was quite good, maybe even great. But there was one item we got on a whim that altered our brain chemistry. Now, keep in mind, again, we were supposed to be in Dollywood. We were looking forward to cinnamon bread, so much so that I made us commemorative Chaotic Girls Trip hats that talk about cinnamon bread. It was on our head. That's how much we were excited to have the famous Dolly cinnamon bread. But there was something that I peeked at. Oh, behind the display. Oh, hey, what's that? And I hit Heather and was like, Heather, because it was such a Heather treat. It was called Buckaroo bread. And if you know, you know. If you know, you know, you know, you know. And if you don't, oh, my Lord, I'm about to enlighten you about one of the best ever Disney desserts I've ever had. And I did not have high expectations for Buckaroo bread. It wasn't the type of thing that came to our table when our buzzer went off. It was in like a heated grab-and-go fridge thing. You know those things where it's like warm food and you just like grab a plastic box of something and you go? When I saw that it was there, I was like, oh, this is going to stink. This is not going to be good. It's just going to be like pudding. No, no, my friend. It was, I guess you'd call it like cinnamon monkey bread. It was like a cinnamon roll and monkey bread had a beautiful child and we were allowed to enjoy it all to ourselves. It was a, like a family style dessert. You can't really get this for one person. I mean, you can, but put it in a fridge after or find a friend because it's too much food for one. And it was gooey and it was sticky and it was sweet. But even in this plastic box, the edges were crispy and crunchy. And we ate this and I had to pee so bad. And this is the one thing we took with us because, again, it was grab and go. We were waiting for the rest of our food to be brought to our table. And we were eating this and I was walking away going to the bathroom and I ran back for one more bite. It was that good. I Googled it recently and was like, why is nobody talking about Buckaroo bread? And of course, Disney Food Blog has a whole thing on it and it is excellent. I don't want to just be like, it's mushy, it's good, it's cinnamon, it's sugar. It is so unfathomably good. It was probably the best thing we had the entire trip. The entire trip. So if you find yourself, you know, maybe a little, you want a little treat after Hoop-Dee-Doo, which would never happen because you're going to have so much strawberry shortcake, go pop. But if you ever wanted to have a little night, you want to make a little night like we did, even though like it's legal, but like it feels like it's not. We had this Buckaroo bread. We had a great night. And then we went to the sing-along. The structure of this Chip and Dale sing-along, which actually, if you can hear me typing with my long nails that are so long right now. Chip and Dale's Campfire Sing-Along. Oh yeah, that's exactly what it's called. I don't know why. Yeah, that isn't the name. Why did I doubt myself? So they do this sing-along and it's followed by a movie. And I never really want to watch a movie at a different hotel because I feel like that's off limits. That's for guests only. But we were there. We were having dinner. We were having a nice time and we just moseyed on over. And the setup is different than they tell you about on the website. The website has a photo, which is a ton of people sitting around a campfire roasting marshmallows with Chip and Dale directly behind them. Like fun. Ha ha ha. Like they're going to poke in and maybe roast a marshmallow and take a turn. That's not what this is. This is a song leader, a musician comes out and plays. Then Chip and Dale join him on stage. They kind of like get into it. The guy's making a lot of jokes. And a lot of jokes were like, you guys aren't laughing at these jokes. Endlessly, like he was just kind of heckling the crowd, which I loved. But children were probably very confused by it. Anyway, he did a lot. They went back. And then Chip and Dale eventually returned to do the hokey pokey with everyone. Everyone got involved. It was a really good time. And they sell s'mores kits, popcorn, Mickey pretzels, all these yummy snacks out of a kind of like fake converted RV. It is so cool. It is such a unique offering. I'm so glad I got to see it. And to experience characters doing something like this, basically dinner theater without paying the cover for, you know, any sort of meal or character interaction was fantastic. It was fantastic. Like, I'm sure after I say this, they'll like check that you're staying there, but they don't right now. And we went for dinner and it's hard to get to, so I'm sure it's not too slammed. It was bliss. I believe it's nightly. We had so much fun. And after that, I realized, oh, it was at 8:00. It lasted about 40 minutes. And then I was like, guys, let's go to the beach and watch the fireworks. So then unexpectedly, because I didn't think we were going to see Magic Kingdom fireworks this trip because there were two, count them, two holiday parties right in a row on the 2 days we had park admission. And I say we, meaning Kelsey only had 2 days of tickets. We had annual passes. We weren't going to go without her, except I kind of did. We'll get to that in a second, but it's not as cruel as it sounds. She prefers sleeping in. I like waking up and going to Magic Kingdom. Anyway, we went, we saw the fireworks, they played the music, feet in the sand, ankle boots intended for Dollywood, full of Disney World beach sand, just so lovely. And one of those moments where I just sat and like really tried to absorb the weight of how wonderful it was just to randomly be back in my favorite place in the entire world with my friends, having a great time with so much fun ahead of us. I'll tell you about our wacky wild time in the parks after this break. It finally happened, y'all. It finally happened. I felt a breeze in the air, which means it's time for fall, the very best season for wearing whatever you want to. Cooler days are gonna call for layers that last, and Quince has all the quality essentials for feeling cozy and looking refined without blowing your budget. These are gonna be the pieces that turn into your year-round uniform. We're talking about $50 Mongolian cashmere, premium denim that fits like a dream, and luxe outerwear you're probably gonna wear year after year. Looking like the chicest person in your Instagram feed has never been easier, because Quince partners directly with top-tier ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, delivering luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands. I know you've heard me talk about Quince month after month, but I gotta tell you, I switched it up. I placed a little fall order at Quince, and I got items that I know are going to last me through fall, winter, and every season after that. I got a Mongolian cashmere cardigan sweater in this beautiful bright red that's gonna look just as good with jeans as it will with a dress. I got a baby alpaca wool turtleneck that is the perfect kind of oversized I was looking for, and a washable silk skirt. Which together, ideal for fall, with tights perfect for winter, and honestly, the exact outfit combo I've been needing for things like a Disney cruise. When you need a light little sweater for dinner, but if you go outside, you want to still be able to feel nice in the breeze in the summertime. The idea of loading up on basics is so annoying. It's a task. But honestly, it isn't at Quince. Their selection is refined, the reviews are really reliable, and it makes shopping stylish, smart, and finally easy. Find your fall staples at Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's also available in Canada now, too! Yeah! That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Guys, I found where all the good presents are hiding. It's kind of like that scene when you're on Pirates of the Caribbean where there's all the gold coins and gems and jewels, only it's the perfect gifties for literally everyone you've ever met, and it's all at Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful. They literally make it fun with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. And if you don't believe me, buckle up, sister. They've got Candy of the World Advent Calendar, a make-your-own churros kit, create-your-own viewfinder with the little slides and the photos like the old-school toy. Pearl is absolutely getting that for the holidays because all the cool gifts are hiding here and hanging out together just waiting for you. I went shopping to find the very best stuff to recommend, which is the only way I can justify the 40 blissful minutes I just spent during my workday shopping on Uncommon Goods. I have 22 tabs open right now, and I'm abandoning all of the ad copy they suggested just to yell at you about the unique, special, and perfect array of presents you will find on Uncommon Goods. They've got a swaddle that makes a baby look like a burrito. They've got a DIY cuckoo clock. 12 days of freeze-dried ice cream for your space-obsessed kid. They've got that too. A whiskey-making kit. All of these are under $100, many of them well under, by the way. Like custom message shortbread cookies. I gotta remember that for birthdays for close friends. A candy bowl that looks like a dachshund. Glow cubes for kids' bath times. This little insulated food container that looks like a little cow or dinosaur that I'm not sure if I'm gonna get for Pearl or for me. Nail files that look like a puppy and a cat's when you file down your nail, you're scratching their belly. They've got mystery prize bath bombs with money hidden in them. This is the world's best boutique. I am not joking, and you will find everything for someone in your life here. So shop early this holiday season, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/amusing. That's uncommongoods.com/amusing for 15% off all that stuff. I mean, you might literally make money with 15% off and the bath bombs with money inside. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Welcome back. And I very quickly have to correct myself, because when I said on the first day that I was just, oh, you know, so chill, we hung at the house. Yeah, we did that. But I also forgot that we went to Disney Springs to get a Gideon's cold brew so that Kelsey could buy new clothes because we didn't have clothes for this trip. We ended up both buying Zara t-shirts. And when I tell you, I was there 2 weeks ago. They had the full setup. They were down to a rack of women's and a rack of men's clothing. And we each found t-shirts. I got a men's tee. She got a ladies tee. Like, we just were like, oh, we need clothes. We didn't have clothes for this trip. And we were able to buy them at Disney Springs. I picked up some Gideon's cookies. And I was actually, like, so sated from the ones I got recently that I didn't end up eating them. I brought them and froze them. I brought them home, froze them, put them in the freezer. But I had some buttercream, which was great. And ooh, I had a Gideon's cold brew, which always hits. I also bought, and I posted about this already, I bought a little strawberry keychain. A little strawberry chip keychain. This was the trip that really got me loving Chip and Dale in a way I did not expect. To buy that little strawberry, like, cutie little keychain, his little face, his little eyes. I posted it on Instagram if you haven't seen it. It's the cutest keychain I've seen in years. I never buy Disney merch. I never go in stores and I'm tempted. I'm just not. And I saw this in the window, like a puppy in a children's book. And I was like, oh, I must have him. And I went in and bought it, like, on the spot, put it on my backpack. And it has been there ever since. It is so cute. And his little tail sticks out of the back. Oh, the strawberry costume is so sweet. Wow, we really got a lot done that first day. But we are talking about our parks days, our back-to-back parks bonanza. We began the first day with Magic Kingdom. We woke up a little early. We just kind of wanted to, like, you know, really hit the ground running. No stress, but still wanted to see what we can get done. We did not purchase lightning lanes for this trip. We did not purchase single pass or multi-pass. And I'll tell you, we would have bought single pass. Heather really wanted to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I got a sweet spot for Guardians of the Galaxy. I just do. I would have splurged and surprised everyone because it was the other two girls' birthdays. I mean, it was the day we got home, but in honor of it, I was going to get it for them. Nothing was available. And when I tell you nothing, I mean not a single Lightning Lane single pass for any ride that has it throughout the duration of our entire trip. Not a one. Not a one. Not even like an 8:45 p.m. Guardians. Not even a random 3 p.m. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Not a random Tron. Nothing. Zip, zero. And it was actually strange because the parks were not that busy. Magic Kingdom, we went on a party day, which we were handsomely rewarded for. Magic Kingdom was pretty chill when we were there, to the point where we wouldn't have even really needed Lightning Lane multipass to do what we wanted to do. We would have needed it for the two coasters that have it, but we showed up and just were like, let's let it ride. We took some castle pictures, and after that, the wait for Space Mountain was so low. I checked it as we were like walking into the park that I was like, guys, we gotta go. It was 15 minutes. A 15-minute wait for Space Mountain over an hour after the park opened. That is how lucky we got. I haven't done the left track in a really long time. You know I'm a right track girly. We've talked about this in earlier episodes. It's like Omega and Delta, I believe. But we did the one I'm not used to, so I didn't really anticipate the left turns and the right turns. Like, it was opposite of what I'm used to. And it jostled me around. And I'll tell you, I'm reaching the point. I'm not 40, but I am reaching the point in my body where, like, that might be my Space Mountain cutoff. Because I was on it like, oh, this might be one of the last five times I get on. And once you start crawling out of the berth that is that vehicle, just like throwing your stuff on the walkway and then pulling yourself out like you are like climbing out of a submarine for survival, that's when you know, oh, your Space Mountain days are numbered. And I really felt that way, even though I work out all the time and like I think I'm physically, I wouldn't call myself fit, but I'm not unfit. Oh, it's hard to get in and out of that. And I've reached that age, unfortunately. Maybe there's a certain amount of like yoga I can do to make it happen. Maybe there's a way. Now, you might remember earlier I said that things just worked out for us. Having no plan, having no intention, anything that just came out to surprise us brought us so much joy, more than we probably would ever have on a regular trip. Seeing Space Mountain was a teeny tiny wait. Gleeful, just truly exuberant. Earlier that day, Kelsey, one of my friends who was with me, was like, I really want to meet Chip and Dale. And I was like, oh man, I don't know where that would happen in Magic Kingdom. Like, we can definitely plan to see them in another park, but I just don't know where it's going to get done. And then, as we exited Space Mountain, who was there? Oh, just Chip and Dale wandering around Tomorrowland in little Tomorrowland costumes. I did not know this was a character thing they had there. I guess I don't really dilly-dally during the day. I'm more of like a people mover at nighttime kind of girl. But they just appeared and we got to see them. We got to hug them. It was so exciting that it was so random. And just, oh, random character appearance is really unlike anything else. I waited in our longest line of the day, which was for Joffrey's. I got my shake in Jamaican. I met up with friends of Heather's who now are our friends. Krista, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but hello. And we all went on People Mover together. We went to the hub. They waited for me while I got my favorite popcorn. I posted that video just truly on cloud nine. I was like, this is the happiest I think I'll ever be. I need to capture it unexpectedly in Magic Kingdom. My favorite coffee and my favorite food in perfect weather, not sweating, hanging out with friends, no responsibilities. It was heaven. Because we had opened ourselves up to doing whatever, the next stop was something I have been wanting to do on many, many trips that just never ended up happening. And finally, it happened. We all went to go see the new Country Bear Jamboree. And I figured, you know, I've put it off enough. It can't be that good. Like, people said it was fine. Like, it opened. People talked about it. No one's out here raving about Country Bear Jamboree. What, like, a year after its opening, except for me. I am that person raving about it because holy heck, guys, Country Bear Jamboree is so good. And this is the thing that I keep talking about with Disney parks. I talked about this extensively with Test Track. The difference is that when Disney updates an attraction now, when they do it correctly, it honors the source material while also modernizing it for a new audience. This is why I'm holding any critique of some announced updates, wink, wink, because I really feel like they have been doing a pretty good job. Test Track is amazing. They really honored the essential history of that attraction while also making it something new and fun that new audiences will want to go on. And that is precisely what they did with Country Bear Jamboree. I sat there agog. I just kept turning over to Heather being like, oh, this is so good. The way that they incorporated modern Disney songs in it is something that I had pause about, to say the least. I was worried, and even though they brought in top tier talent, I mean, I am a Chris Teeley stan. I have seen that man perform live many times because he is so talented. He's like the best mandolin player to ever exist. If you're not familiar, listen to Nickel Creek, listen to Punch Brothers. It is so, this man is so deeply talented. I'm such a fan forever. And to hear him sing in Country Bear Jamboree should have been this moment where my brain was like, no, you don't fit. But even hearing Try Everything, like the perfect example, they do Try Every, I'm not going to spoil the show for you if you haven't seen it, but Try Everything from Zootopia, the Shakira song, is, I'd say, one of the essential songs in the new Country Bear Jamboree. And I'm sure many of you have seen it by now. So please, I will get over this quickly, but I have to talk about it because I haven't seen it yet. So I'm sorry if you have, but Try Everything is part of like the core show. I think that's one of like the main moments you remember from the show when you exit. And I am someone who does not like that song. Okay. I don't like that song. Zootopia is fine. I'm not drawn to it. I'm not like buying anything Judy Hopps. Like, I'm not interested. That song in that show resonated with me, somebody who actively doesn't like it, so much that I came home, played it for my kid because I couldn't stop. I had the song in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. Played it for my kid. She loved it so much that now Zootopia is one of the movies that she will allow me to play for her because it is a short list. It is Frozen, Frozen 2, and the two Goofy movies. She, like, just that song in that show set off a chain that has truly brought that music to a new generation vis-a-vis the Country Bear Jamboree. I am so impressed with what they did. The costuming, the pace of the show. If you haven't done it, like me, if you've been like, oh, I'll do it whenever, you know, it's raining, when I have time, prioritize it on another trip and you might be amazed by it. Because I think that when Disney updates things for a new audience, it's not always a hit. It's not always a hit. But this is kind of indicative of what they can do when they update things like Carousel of Progress, when they update things that we know are coming. This is a great example of maybe we shouldn't freak out because they might nail it. They might give us what we want and give other people who weren't expecting to like this what they want. It was phenomenal. I don't even have words. It was so, so good. So if you have time on your next trip, definitely check it out if you haven't yet. And if you have, I'm sorry it took me so long. I'm just trying to rectify that for other people who are also like, I don't know, man, about it. And I should have been like, yeah, man, because it was great. We went on Haunted Mansion, quick wait. I rarely go on that one. It was so nice. We had a bite with our friends. And then we finished up the day, a quick day. We went back to take a break and just like have snacks and whatever. But we finished the day with the most exciting interaction I had had. We were in the firehouse because I'm like, oh, I never go in the firehouse. Why don't we do that? Saw a bunch of cool patches that I'd never seen, including Witch City, a name for Salem, which I will be joking about for the rest of my days. And these two women walked up to us and kind of shoved something in our hand. And we were like, what? What's happening? And it was a little baggie with a little stuffed elephant that was in honor of Dumbo that said, you've been pixie dusted. It's my 97th birthday. And they were there with Vicente, who's celebrating his 97th birthday. He had a sash on. We took photos with him. We talked to him. We heard some of his stories. And it was like the parallel of Disney magic being among people we never met who were now becoming instant friends. And truly with this stranger, with Heather's friends now becoming my friends, and just spending the day there, seeing them update attractions, just walking around, doing whatever we wanted. That is what Disney World is supposed to be. And it was really nice to get out of the mentality of the scheduling and the nonsense and just really, truly enjoy. Later that day, we went to Epcot where we immediately bought matching necklaces. Again, this was the trip that merch got me. They got me. I never buy merch. But the merch was good. And it was different from 2 weeks ago somehow. And I was kind of on a roll because, again, I pack like a Disney keychain. I pack my stuff. I didn't have any of my stuff. And so I was kind of craving my Disney stuff. I bought a birthstone ring. Not my month. I didn't like the June option. But it's like a little diamond wraparound adjustable Mickey that's so glittery in the sunlight. I wore my necklace. I wore that. And keeping with the theme of trying new things, oh, try everything. I guess that is, wow, that's the theme song of the trip, ain't it? I went to the gelato shop in the France Pavilion. I don't know why I'm blanking on its name. What is its name? Oh, here I go again, reading non-English words. Not my strong suit. La Artisan de Glace? De Glace, I think is it's called. You guys know the place I'm talking about. And I was like, you know what? We're opening ourselves to new possibilities. I'm going to get that brioche ice cream sandwich because I haven't had it in 9 years. Like I truly haven't had it in a millennia. And I'm like, today's the day. And it wasn't hot out, so it didn't melt quickly. I got it with caramel sauce and the flavor of ice cream I got was this. They had some funky flavors. I got cinnamon and caramelized pecan. I don't know why I said pecan like that. Caramelized pecan. And there was another one I was between. There was cinnamon, caramelized apple, and crumble crunch. Crumble crunch is a bit repetitive. But I asked the person at the checkout, I asked the cast member, I was like, should I do the pecan one or the apple one? And they were like, pecan, do the pecan one. And we all split it. It was so nice. It was like a delicious treat. Not something I would probably order for myself again, but still really great, which all of you know. Then I went to Caramel Kush and I got some caramel corn and I got a little chocolate covered caramel to bring home to Pearl. And from there, we just kind of milled about. We had no plans and about an hour and a half at Epcot before the nighttime show. So we watched some glass blowing. We went on the Mexico boat ride and then it was time for dinner. And I was obviously steering my friends towards the Mexico Pavilion. I mean, you know, I like to get my quick service beans, but we were kind of tired. Like, we were pretty exhausted at this point. And I was like, oh, why don't we go to La Hacienda de San Angel and see if they have a reservation? I pulled up that little, you know, in the app, like the walk-up waitlist function. Boom. There was a table almost immediately. And there was a long line. And we just booked it from our phone. By the time we got to the front of the line to the check-in desk, our table was ready. It was fantastic. We sat down, we had queso, we had chips, we had guac, which is my go-to order around the corner at the quick service. But then I got a dish. It was essentially like deconstructed tacos served in a hot skillet. And I got to make my own little tacos with chicken and peppers and put some cilantro on there. It was a wonderful dinner. And I never go to that place enough because I'm always going to quick service. And if you want to sit and if you want to be served, that place is good. Now, the plan was to see the nighttime show, because if you remember from 2 weeks ago when I was just here, oh my Lord, I was pretty wowed by it. And I never really make intentional plans to go see it. But right before dinner, I was like, ooh, we should try to go on test track in the single rider line. So we kind of like moseyed over there, got in the single rider line. The single rider line was almost all the way to the ride entrance, to which I was like, abandoned. We are not doing this. It could be 30, 40 minutes. No freaking way are we doing this. So we went, we had dinner. And I'm like being chill. I'm being calm on vacation. I'm being very cool and relaxed. And then I realize it's 8:36 and I see that there is a window. There is a window of possibility to be able to go on test track tonight. And it's kind of like we're wrapping up, we're done eating, we haven't asked for the check yet, but I know Disney math, I know Disney time, and I know that there's a world where we can run to the bathroom, pay our check, get our stuff, go, and get there by before 9 p.m. to be able to get in the single rider line. And hopefully it will be shorter. So I go to the bathroom, I come back, and I'm like, guys, if I don't go on Test Track tonight, it will be a failure for me. Like, I've been calm this whole trip, and the Disney itch in me is like, we gotta go. And they're like, all right, let's do it. Of course, because my friends are the best and I love them. They're always down. So we pay, we get out, we get to Test Track with like 4 minutes to spare. We get in line, because you know, you have to be in line before the park ends. Before the park closes at 9, but you can get in line anytime before 9. We forego the nighttime show. I mean, we did see fireworks the night before. And we all get to ride Test Track. And it was amazing. My other two friends actually ended up in the same vehicle, which is the miracle of single rider. And the line took... It was busy at that night, I think because Magic Kingdom was a party night. And I think because kind of as you get closer to the weekend, the nighttime crowds at Epcot are there for the festival. So there's a lot more single riders than there would be when I went the last time, which was middle of the day when everyone's kind of, you know, there's not as many people going out at night. It's more like people on vacation in groups. So we got to go on the ride. It was such a wonderful, wonderful end to the night. The person that I was sat next to was so funny. And during it, it was like the first like herky jerky moment. They're like, ooh, hope you didn't have a big meal today. And I was like, actually, I just ate so much food at dinner that I don't feel well, but we're going to be good. I kept it under control, even as the car felt really fast, really fast. But I locked it down. I was good. And it was a perfect, perfect end to our first night. It really was great. And while our first park day was full of relaxing bliss, our second park day had me a little like, this is our last park day. We went from our first park day to our last park day like that. It was so quick that I was like, oh, we gotta jam it all in. We woke up and I decided that we were going to go on an excursion to Jeff's Bagel Run. Another thing that I always want to do on every trip and never get to do. Now you can order delivery from Jeff's Bagel Run. You can schedule it in advance. You can get it delivered to your hotel, which I have done before, but I've never been to one of his brick and mortar locations. And I first had Jeff's Bagels when he was just doing drops outside of his house. I had a rental car and I drove to his home and picked up a bag of bagels. So I, at this point, was like, I gotta see a store in person. I gotta. We drove to Celebration, which was lovely. Just like the loveliest little mall. Also, as we were pulling out, there was just an utterly gorgeous 7-Eleven. That town is, ooh, that town is cuter than Hollywood Studios, I'll tell you that. And we got to experience Jeff's Bagel Run in the flesh. And I got to tell you, what a nice place to go with friends where you're splitting cream cheeses, you're dunking, you're dipping, you're trying all the different things. We got a sweet bagel to share, a cinnamon sugar with banana pudding cream cheese, which was divine. I got my favorite, rosemary salt, because not a lot of people do a salt bagel right, and Jeff knows salt bagels. We adore Jeff here. He is the best. I got that. I got jalapeno cream cheese. Heather had veggie cream cheese, which was knocked us out. It was so good. We got flavored little coffees. We had our little breakfast. We sat outside. It was glorious. And then we drove to Animal Kingdom. We walk in the door. I'm holding my coffee from an off-campus location. I am living my life. I really like coffee as a huge motivator in my day, in case you haven't noticed. And then we walk in, and who is basically at the front of the park, like I'm talking Wilderness Explorer booth on your right, you know where that is. Before the merchandise shops, Kevin. Kevin in all of her colorful glory is that far to the front of the park. And I've never seen her that far. I've just seen her on like the side, like the walkway coming from Asia by the tree, walking all the way towards like where the Boneyard was. That's where I've seen Kevin. I've never seen Kevin that up close. And we were shocked and delighted, and it was heaven. From there, our goal was to go on Dinosaur before we had lunch at Tiffin's later that day. But again, Kelsey's one thing was like, I really want to see Chip and Dale in their dinosaur costumes. I haven't done it yet. And it was pretty hidden, actually. It's past a Daisy meet and greet. And we realized the line was a little long. We're like, forget Dinosaur. We got to get this done for Kels. We met them in their costumes and it was heaven. Because again, I'm a Chip and Dale girly now. That's two Chip and Dale encounters in like 36 hours. I'm all in on them. I love my goof, but I saw him in Animal Kingdom 2 later that day and it just wasn't the same. I love Goofy, but oh no, I think Chip and Dale are new entrants into my character obsession. We ate lunch at Tiffin's with my friend Allie, who I have not seen in so long. It was so good to see Allie. And we ordered land salads. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, just, you know, produce from living with the land. Just produce that they plucked from living with the land in a salad. I had to get it. And my friends didn't love it as much. It was, I'd call it a non-traditional lettuce. It had a lot of stick to it. It was pretty bitter. I ate every morsel. I was stoked about it. And they're going to hold it against me because I said I didn't want to ride Living with the Land on this trip because I ride it every time. I'm always on Living with the Land. I wanted to do stuff I don't usually get to do, like just meander with my friends. And then they, of course, razzed me because I was like, we all must get Living with the Land salads. But it was great. It was served with like your choice of protein. They had shrimp. They had steak. They had chicken. Heaven. We had a very long lunch. And our plan for the day was originally like, okay, we'll wake up. Jeff's Bagel Run. We'll go to Animal Kingdom. Then we'll like run some errands. We'll go to, I think we had to go get like groceries or something. I don't remember. There was something, I was going to buy a toll pass because I never did and I really need one. I know. I got to get on the toll thing. I know we've had calls about this. I know I've talked about it. I know there's a thing you can buy that you told me about. I got to do it. We were going to, Heather had to buy something else. I think Kelsey wanted a shirt. I don't remember what the reason was. We were going to do that and then we were going to go antique shopping before we went out to dinner that night. None of that happened. We gabbed at lunch for so long that we were like, oh, we might not have time to do the stuff we want to do in Animal Kingdom, which was boarding the train to go to Rafiki's Planet Watch. I have not been there in many, many moons. I have not been to Affection Section, the petting zoo. I've not been to Conservation Station, the kind of like rehab facility for animals. I haven't been there in forever, ever, ever. And it was so nice to just have a casual day where we head over there, we make the trip. It's not boiling hot. Truly, like, the joy of this trip was mostly colored by the fact that it was not boiling hot. And we got to pet animals and talk to the people who work there and just, like, pet a pig. I got to pet a pig! Not Peppa Pig, I got to pet a pig! And it was a nice, just a nice little escape for the day. We ended up going to, I think it's called Zuri's Sweet Shops, the candy, the kind of confectionery store in the Africa section. And we got a few different treats. There were these two like chocolate Mickey shapes that they got, which stunk. Those were bad. They were just melted chocolate in a mold. It was not worth it. But I got this like banana chocolate covered s'more. And I think the chocolate was like white chocolate banana flavored. It was kind of dry on the inside, but again, a real banana pudding of a day. It was quite good. I ate most of it. The chocolate was great, but it was a very banana flavor, like a Runtz banana. So if eating that with a s'more and a dry, crumbly mouth isn't for you, then maybe you wouldn't like it. We walked some of the paths. We saw gorillas. We saw so many gorillas. Also, shame on my husband for telling me that I didn't need the iPhone 16 Pro and I could just get the regular one because I did that 8x zoom and I was right there with the animal. The photos I have, it's like I was just like hanging out with them at lunch. They're like, it's so crisp. They're right there. I'm looking at them right now. Wow, it was so cool. Then we went on an end of day safari. We had almost as much luck as I had last time. We didn't see everything we saw last time. We saw a lot of animals. It was a really, really good safari. We ended the day by exiting through Rainforest Cafe because, again, this was chaotic girls trip. We had gone to a Rainforest Cafe in Galveston, Texas. We had to see it. My friend Kelsey is like low-key obsessed with Rainforest Cafe, brought all of us Rainforest Cafe safari hats that she picked up at the one in California recently. Let me tell you, perfect travel hat. I will be wearing this for the rest of my life. And we went through and took photos and shopped in the store and did our own little sneaky solo tour of the restaurant because they had multiple fish tanks, which they don't always do. And a lot of the fish tanks at the other locations don't have fish in them. And these all had fish. Also, people still be going there. It was bumping. Like, it was pretty packed. And for that, I'm grateful because I'll also say it smelled good. It smelled good in there. And I would have been like, y'all, we should stay for dinner if we didn't have our reservation at Cake Bake Shop. Now, I kind of spoiled what my review of this was going to be. But again, a lot of the food was really, really, really good. The best thing I had was that chicken soup. It's kind of like avgolemono, if you're familiar with the Greek kind of like creamy chicken soup. It was a little bit like that, but more just like cream of chicken soup. It was just divine. It was served with a piece of baguette, and oh my gosh, their baguette was so good. I was not expecting somewhere on property to be making like fancy bakery level baguette bread, but this place was, to the point where I'm like, I would come here for a cutie little drink. I would come here for soup and I would come here for dessert. Like that is a perfect meal to have here. I ordered a Caesar salad with salmon. It was fine. The Caesar dressing was great. They didn't have enough of it on the salad. I got it on the side and then could finally taste it. And it was really good. One of our friends got a shrimp po' boy, which was on that bread. That apparently was great. Heather got a croque monsieur, which I think she also liked. There was just, everyone seemed pretty happy with their dishes, but nothing was like that chicken soup. Then it was time for dessert. Also, I think my friend Kelly agrees with the chicken soup. She had a spoonful of it, but I think you also thought that the chicken soup was great. I'm pretty sure. Then it was time for dessert. And Ashley's words, again, ringing in my ears, being like, you gotta find your cake. You gotta find your cake. Actually, let me just have her say it herself.
You have to find the cake that's right for you. So you have to find your favorite. So it might take a couple of different tries to be like, oh, this is my cake. But my goodness, when I found my cake, which is multiple pieces at this point, multiple different flavors, I literally stood in my kitchen and like cried. Like it was so good. It was so good. It was literally the best chocolate cake I've ever had in my life.
I found my cake and we ordered two of them for the table. We got the Pixie Fetti, that's trademarked? Pixie Fetti? All right. We got the Pixie Fetti birthday cake, which was vanilla confetti cake with a hint of almond. Honey, there was more than a hint. They had, I guess, vanilla almond buttercream and it had confetti on top. That is the one that other people ordered and I was like, I gotta get a bite of that. And I thought that was gonna be my cake, but it was not. I had heard forever of the millionaire cake and I'm not that much of a chocolate girl, to be honest. So I didn't want to order that myself to go. But here was a good opportunity. We could all take a little bite. If I didn't like it, I'm sure there was a chocoholic at the table that would enjoy it. But no, I became a chocoholic that night. The Millionaire Cake is a chocolate cake filled with, there's a lot of brands here, I'm just going to omit them. Fancy chocolate cake with fancy Belgian chocolate ganache, homemade salted caramel sauce, vanilla buttercream, and homemade butter shortbread cookies. Topped with a Belgian chocolate fudge, shortbread, and salted caramel sauce. This one rocked. This cake rocked. And I know a lot of people were saying when they first opened, like, oh, you got to get the millionaire cake. I never in my days thought that I would be raving about a chocolate cake. I am a vanilla cake girl. And yet, it was exceptional. And here is really where dining in is so different from taking out. $22 for a piece of cake that you are going to share with a whole table of people is a completely different scenario than a $22 slice of cake that you take out into the boiling hot Florida sun and eat standing on a trash can. Like doing that, eating it Epcot Food Festival style, just sitting at the boardwalk at a boiling hot table, not knowing where to sit, eating it with a plastic fork, that is not how this cake should be served ever. And that is what so many of us are kind of used to when it comes to Cake Bake Shop. Sitting down at the end of a lovely meal, which again, I could have just eaten the soup, it was filling. A lovely meal, enjoying it with friends, having the waiter come over, and there's a whole backstory with these characters, which I had a third of a cocktail. I don't remember. I also wasn't paying attention because I was eating too much food. But there's like, you get handed like a handful of glitter and you get to blow it, which COVID should have taught us not to blow on anyone else's food, but alas, here we are. It was cute, so it was fine. It was such like a magical, fun moment with friends. So silly, so goofy, so different from what I usually do at Disney World that I was eating it up literally and figuratively. It was a lovely experience. I will be coming back here many times. I need to take back all of the things I said about it. And last but not least, I gotta tell you guys, the prices were not as bad as what I originally thought. I know there was a point when they lowered prices after they initially opened because people were shocked, myself included. And when you're kind of like looking at this straight up, the prices can be pretty high. But compared to other Disney restaurants at this level, the pricing actually makes a lot of sense. Depending on what you get, you could be spending a lot more. I mean, they have a steak frite that's $60 almost because you're having a steak. But a lot of the entrees are in the like 24 to 30 something range. And there's a lot of options there. I'm now seeing my salad was $25. That was not worth that. But the chicken soup, $13 for a filling, beautiful soup paired with delicious baguette, sharing fries, having dessert. That is the way to do it. And that is how you should be doing Cake Bake Shop, because I unbelievably am telling you to go to Cake Bake Shop. I never thought it would happen. But I also never thought I'd stay there for almost 4 hours having so much fun that I didn't want to leave. It was glorious. It was glorious. I get it now. Thank you to Ashley. Thank you to anyone else who told me I needed to go back. I apologize for the things I've said, but also a cake slice to go out of a paper box with a plastic fork is not the way to do this place. If you are like, I'm interested, but I don't want to commit to a whole meal, have like, just go and get like a cake, get the soup, split a little fry, like just have a casual little meal. I think that is the way to do this. And oh my God, I want to go back for breakfast. I can't have cake that early, but ooh, I did not think I would be loving Cake Bake Shop, but I am. We stayed there so late that we got back and were so tired. And it was our last park day. That was it for our trip. The next day we did have character breakfast at the Four Seasons, the Goofy and Pals breakfast, which I will tell you about in a second. We had a 10:15 reservation. And a normal person, like my friends who I traveled with, were like, okay, we stayed up late. I'm going to sleep in a little. I'm going to finish packing. I'm going to like get all the laundry ready at this friend's house that we stayed at, put it in the laundry room, and then we'll head to breakfast. But my brain is broken and it does not work like that. My brain instead was like, so you're saying there's a way that I could get to Magic Kingdom, have some Jollies, and then get out of there in time for breakfast. There was a way. There was a way I was able to do it. And I had to do it. I had to do it. I woke up so early. I got everything together. I stayed up late packing. I woke up and was like, I cannot be here with an annual pass burning a hole in my pocket and not say goodbye to the park on my park day. If there is a window where I can go to the park, I have to do. And I didn't ditch my friends. They were sleeping. They were relaxing. They were packing. They didn't want to go. But I needed a little more chaos in my chaotic girls trip. I had to get it done. And so I raced to Magic Kingdom, and I was able to visit in time. And the clock was ticking, and I walked in the gate, and I went, what am I going to do? I had no plan, no agenda, no goal. Usually in my mind, I have something I want to do. Nothing. I just let my legs take me where they wanted to go. And the moment I walked in, I saw Meet Mickey, and I went, that's what we're doing. Now, I was exhausted. I had not yet had my Joffreys. I was very tired and forgot that I was literally meeting Mickey a few hours later at this character breakfast. I kind of totally forgot about that. But I just really, really needed to meet Mickey. In that moment, I needed to hug Mickey. I don't know. I just wanted to wait in the line, chill out, not worry about like wrangling a child in that line, because I don't love that line when you're there with children. It was just like, yeah, I want to meet Mickey. And the line ended up being a little longer than I thought, but it was still such a nice way to start the day. And the minute I walked out, I was kind of like, okay, let's see what the waits are. Because the waits were not as low as when I was there the other day. This was a Saturday morning. Oh my gosh, I'm recording this like 48 hours after. I can't believe I was just there. That's wild. I scroll through my phone. Everything's pretty long. Nothing's looking easy to me. So I'm like, I guess we'll just settle for another people mover. And then I see it. I see it out of the corner of my eye speaking to me. A 10-minute wait on Astro Orbiter. Now, I'm never out here prioritizing Astro Orbiter. That's not something I'm caring about. I mean, I'm never like, you know what I want to do? Wait in an outdoor line and then take a small elevator up to a roof. That's never a priority. But the 10-minute wait and the views, it was speaking to me. It was speaking to me. I was going to get a little rocket all to myself. And that's exactly what happened. And I got to tell you, we are sleeping on the Astro Orbiter because you can often catch it when the waits are low. It's a brilliant vantage point that you don't often get. You get to see all of the sights. You get to see the castle. You get to see the Space Mountain building. You get to see it all. You get to whirl around and it's not too dizzying. You get to just really enjoy a Space Mountain vehicle without like, you know, feeling your knees creak as you try to get out of it. It was such a blissful minute and a half of just soaking in Magic Kingdom all alone, randomly, not expecting to be there, not even supposed to be there that day, not supposed to be there at all, just enjoying the majesty that is the Magic Kingdom. From there, I had to run my little errands. I got my Joffreys. I went and I got my popcorn. I brought a Ziploc bag, put it in that Ziploc bag. I ran to a store on Main Street because Kelsey wanted me to grab a pair of ears. I was able to secure those. And then I had about 10 minutes left over to myself. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do something I never get to do on vacation because it's hot, because I'm busy, because I got things to do. I'm going to go chill on the hub grass. And I chilled. I sat on the hub grass like it was the dawn of Disney Instagram in 2016, just hanging out, sitting, popcorn, coffee, staring at Castle, taking in the jams, and then in the distance, I heard it. I heard the Dapper Dans. The Dapper Dans just coming down Main Street in a vehicle, singing, mic'd. Everyone could hear them perfectly, enjoying my snack, enjoying my view, enjoying my coffee, enjoying the Dapper Dans, and just really bathing in the joy that is this place. Because I was not supposed to be here in the sense of this trip. I was supposed to be at Dollywood, but in a larger sense, I really wasn't supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be hosting a podcast about theme parks. This is not what my life was supposed to be. I don't know how I got so lucky to fall into this accidentally, to end up on a bachelorette trip for my own bachelorette party in February of 2015, simply because I didn't want to go to Mexico and I didn't want to go to Vegas and I couldn't think of anywhere to go. And my husband said, go to Disney World. And I said, okie dokes. And my friend Jenna helped me plan it because she was a VIP tour guide at the time. She was guest services and she knew what to do. Like, I shouldn't have been at Disney World in 2015. I shouldn't have been doing this job. I shouldn't know these friends that I traveled across the country with. I shouldn't have been at Disney World because I was supposed to be at Dollywood. Like, nothing, everything is so random and you think you're in control of your life and you're kind of not. Like, I never anticipated that I would drag a bunch of people to Florida in 2015 and be like, this was the hardest trip to plan of my life and I need to know more. And that search and that hunt for needing to know more led me to freelance for all these years. And then led me to freelance so hard that I was like, wait, I want to stop writing stories in other people's voices. I want to tell stories in my voice. And then I would post on social media about theme parks, which at the time, remember, I was like a New York reporter. People were like, why are you talking about these theme parks all the time? What happened to her? What's going on? I like fully shifted my life because I just was seeking fun and joy and just loving these spaces. And I, you know, 5 years ago was like, I guess I'll launch a podcast. Why not? I just want to talk about things in my own voice. And like, at the time, I did think it was going to be easier than writing. It is not. Writing is way easier. But alas, I still love doing it. Regardless, it takes a lot of time, but I care about quality. And that's my own bag to deal with, is that I won't put out anything that isn't, I think, excellent. And I hope you recognize that. And so I just was like, I guess, yeah, I'll start a podcast. And now it's my job. And now my job is to go to these places. And I was sitting there on this Hubgrass drinking this coffee that I hadn't had until my friend Alan said he was picking one up for Molly and I didn't know about it and was like, what's a shaken Jamaican? And now I'm obsessed eating popcorn that my mom on these many, many trips has deduced is the best popcorn. It's the Hub popcorn cart to the right-hand side. That's the best popcorn in Disney World. Just like the institutional knowledge and the random luck and the chance and the chaos that brought me to this moment, that the morning before I leave for a flight, I am sitting here listening to music that I love, staring at something that I adore in a place that I was not supposed to be in over and over and over again. And it was just the perfect summation of why I love this place. Because there's nowhere else on earth I could go and feel that way. There's nowhere else. And I travel. I like going to cities. I like going to different restaurants. I like exploring. There's nowhere where you can sit and just be so content. Just be so content and so happy. And for me, it was in that moment. Just perfect weather, perfect food, perfect coffee, perfect location. Perfect sounds, perfect sights. It was absolutely perfect. It was not anything I intended for it to be, which life often is. And yet, it just delivered more than I ever thought it would. And that was our chaotic girls trip to Disney World. We hopefully will be returning to Dollywood at maybe April of next year. I haven't even started to think about dates. I honestly haven't even told my husband that we're going back. But we're trying to repurpose some of the things that we had paid for to try to get a credit to be able to do it again next year. I can't wait to go to Dollywood, but I am just very grateful for everything I got to experience in Disney World on this deeply unexpected week, full of snacks, full of friends, full of new friends and old friends, full of horses. I didn't think I'd see so many horses. We did so much. We shopped, we ate. We drink coffee. We don't really drink alcohol. I drink coffee. They had iced tea. It was lovely. And it's just really one of the reasons why I love Disney World so much. If you have any questions about visiting Disney World without planning a trip, let me know. Otherwise, I will be back with a new episode next week. Hopefully the one I have scheduled, but again, I will go where the seas take me. Like, I really did not think I would be sitting here not talking about Dollywood. So I don't want to jinx anything. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. And yeah, Disney World forever.
my name's Paul, Pengrove, California. Nobody calls saying how crappy, how terrible Hollywood Studios is. We went there. It was bad. For some reason, I remember it as being a really good park, and then we were there in early September, and we did half a day and left. It was, after the show, there was like nothing. It was terrible. And we had dinner at Be Our Guest, and it was the worst meal of our trip. White Lulu Bar and Grill is the best. Anyway, cheers. Bye.
Hi, Paul. Okay, real quick, two things at the top. One, introducing yourself by saying you don't like Hollywood Studios before saying your name is important to me. To me, it's like you should say what you dislike about Disney parks before you even mention who you are and where you're from. And for that, I thank you. Also, I'm pretty sure there's going to be an element of this at Amusapalooza in February if any of you are going. I kind of want to, I don't want to spoil it, but I do want there to be a way to connect instantly with people over your hot take on theme parks. Just keep that in mind that if you are going and you will be getting a survey in like the next probably 4-ish weeks when I finalize it, you will be asked about your hot take and it might be made public. Not if you don't want it to be. Don't worry. You don't have to be nervous. It's just if you want, you can say what your hot take is if you would like to. I won't be pressuring you into saying anything you don't want. This is not a senior quote situation. You don't have to feel like, oh, this is what my life is riding on. Do not worry. Anyway, I digress. The second thing I wanted to say is that I think I figured it out. I think I figured out one of the main reasons why Hollywood Studios is a bad vibe. Because you are right. And I am not glad you lived it, but I'm glad you said something because you go there and you're like, really? And I think I know what it is because on this trip, my friend Kelsey was like, we showed up, no schedule, no itinerary, no plans. Kelsey didn't even have tickets until our plane landed. And Kelsey was like, her only thing was that she did not want to go to Hollywood Studios. And I was like, my friends are truly above and beyond and I'm obsessed with them. But it was like the only thing we didn't want to do was go to this park. And I think I know part of the reason why. I think the layout of Hollywood Studios is working against itself. And as they continue to build new lands based on specific IP, it is making that layout feel worse and worse. I mean, think about it. You walk past Star Wars to get to Star Wars. Something viscerally is confusing about that. You take a right, and we've talked about it, that whole Pixar Toy Story, like, to right, then left, and right. It just feels weird. Everything feels like not a hub with spokes, but kind of like, I don't know, like an apple that worms are crawling in and out of. It makes no sense. You also can't really, there's no weenies. Like there is Tower of Terror. That is kind of a really good one. But otherwise, Galaxy's Edge is like a hallway away. You have Rock and Roller Coaster, which you could easily miss. Fantasmic, water in a park and you don't see it is bananas. But most importantly, and this is what I think the argument settles on, is that the exterior of, you know, formerly the Great Movie Ride, now Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Grauman's Theater, I don't remember the proper name that it goes by now because the original name, I'm a little like, is that okay? The theater exterior blocks the view from the entire park. And it's not welcoming the same way the other main icons of the park are. When you walk into Epcot, you see that ball and you just know there's something beyond it. You walk to the sides and you really can see it from 360 degrees. Same at the castle. You can see it from 360 degrees. Animal Kingdom, perfect example. You can see that from 360 degrees. And that is a concept that has worked for Disney over and over and over. The fact that you can be in different lands and different experiences, but still find your way by seeing that icon. At Disney's Hollywood Studios, nah, it's just a wall. It basically is a permanent construction wall because you can't walk around and admire that building from 360 degrees. If Tower of Terror was in the middle, you could, but here, it's just kind of a wall and you go left and right. And I think it really cuts off the park in a way that in your bones, you know it's not right. I don't know why this hasn't occurred to me before, but you know, Animal Kingdom, just knowing like, oh, there's the tree, something beautiful in the middle at all of these parks that just shines from far away. And here, unless you're facing it dead on, it doesn't really have that. And I really think that paired with the haphazardness of the park at this point, honestly, even though I like the new experiences in there, it's just a little, okay. So putting those all together and not having that emblem in the middle that you can see from around the park, even Epcot, who has a totally different layout than a standard Disney park, like just not having it this way feels bad. And this kind of started to click on this trip when we went to ride Dinosaur. And Dinosaur, if you haven't been to the park in the last like 10 days, I have been almost twice, but still, you don't walk back the normal way. The boneyard is gone, which is upsetting, but you walk through kind of all the way around towards Finding Nemo, the Big Blue and Beyond, and then you hang a right and you walk through a walled pathway. And not being able to see dinosaur feels weird. Like, not being able to breezily go that way feels a little like, feels a little off. And I think that off feeling is informing the poor identity of Disney's Hollywood Studios at this moment. That's how I feel. I've never been more passionate about anything in my life. Thank you for calling about Hollywood Studios. And yeah, let me know if you feel the same, because I do think that that is really setting it up to not be successful in a vibe sense. Also, I'm so sorry about Be Our Guest. And I gotta go to that restaurant at the new tower. I gotta go next trip, the next time I show up and don't have plans. Thank you for calling, Paul. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to Not a Dollywood episode. And also, I just want to mention, if you were like, wow, the intro to this chaotic episode sure felt chaotic, I should have mentioned explicitly, the reason I talked about a plumber is because I'm recording the intro and the outro between when a plumber is like, I gotta come back with a big boy camera. So I was like, I don't know when this kind gentleman is coming back to like put a camera through the pipes like a house colonoscopy. But I gotta record this little bit before he comes back. So if I seem a little more than usual, that is why. Anyway, you can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. You know that. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS at any time of day or night. I love getting your calls. Keep them coming. But you already probably know that. You also probably know, I don't know why I'm saying that. Again, I'm like stressed. This man is coming back with a camera. I gotta get this done. You can reach out to MEI Mouse Fan Travel. They will help you with your trip for free. They charge nothing. They save you money. It's just really nice to kind of have like a virtual assistant that's a real person who's a Disney expert in your pocket and charges you no money. So if that appeals to you, if you're going on an Adventures by Disney, also jealous if you are, Disney Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean, Universal Parks and Resorts, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, any of that, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. And if that link doesn't work, sometimes that happens, just let them know I sent you. They just like to know when there's an amusie there so they know they got a real cool person that they're planning a trip for. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet, but I'm pretty sure at this point, if you listen to the podcast, you can already hear me screaming through your Instagram feed. You can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. I love it there. It's truly a digital family and it's incredible. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I did a private Q&A about this trip where I answered questions directly. It's basically like a private churros call, conference call-ish, whenever I go on a trip, which is constantly at this point, and next month I'm going on a big, big Disney trip. Wink, wink, if you can put the clues together. So now would be a great time to sign up, because that Q&A is going to be in-depth, and I'm going to answer every single thing you ask. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey, it's Mom. You know, I never did the Radiator Springs Racers at Disney California Adventure Carland that you talked about. I never did Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Breakout. I don't know if that's fast or not. I never went on Tower of Terror, which I never will go on. And I never did Luigi's Rollicking Roadsters. I don't even know what that is. And Tiana's Bayou Adventure and Credit Coaster. I don't know what anything this stuff is, but I think we need to plan another trip. I think we need to go check out some of the stuff. But I do know Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, because I was there before they opened, remember? And I'm happy for all the new rides that are coming, and I think it'll be fun. You are so funny. When you say we go away, you said, what are the two things you want to do? What parks do you want to go to? So now I have answers. Now I have answers. But my favorite thing in the world is going to Disneyland and seeing the characters, because they're everywhere. And I always talk about this. I love when I see them on rides, and I love that regular people are on rides. They don't, like, do it by themselves. They walk around and they talk to everyone. I love that so much. That's my favorite, next to popcorn, of course. But I am a popcorn girl, and if I'm going to eat it, I patiently wait until a fresh batch is made or they've just been made. There's nothing like the hot, fresh popcorn. It's so good. And in a pinch, if I'm hungry and don't want to spend time and waste in a restaurant, I will walk around, eat my popcorn, go on rides, and that is my meal for the lunch or breakfast. It's so delicious. It's my favorite. Anyway, what is this Boysen apple freeze you never told me about? I never heard of it. Sounds wonderful, especially when it's a really hot day. Never had a fried pickle ever. This sounds great. Where you're hiding me. I need to go to these places. Lobster nachos? Where have you been? So, honey, we need to take Mom for all these foods that I've never tried that I would love to try. And poo-poo platters? I didn't go for a poo-poo platter. We need an eating vacation. I love you. Great episode. I love you so much, Carly. And I love you so much, Pearl. See you next time. Bye.